Yeah, it's good to see everybody out this evening, always encouraging to come together to study, to worship, as the opportunity is given to us. We'd like to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. We're going to be spending probably the entire time, might look at some other stuff, but mainly in Matthew chapter 23 this evening to go through our lesson. We go through it again. It's in a mindset, going along with what we've been doing on our evening lessons, last few lessons that I've done, of why some have left the Church of Christ. And this point can easily go along with, I think the first one I did on it, on authority, and going along with that mindset of having the authority of God and the rules in which He has given to us, commands in which we must keep. And that would be to go along and ask the question, are we Pharisees? Because many want to use, and mainly this, the first point on this chapter is the one that they go to say that we are like the Pharisees, and to the point that we bind laws that do not need to be bound. So I want to go through the entire chapter, though, pretty much, Matthew 23, because it goes forth and has a lot of things in which it warns against the Pharisees. Again, the first point that we'll get into is the main one that they'll throw at us and saying that we are like the Pharisees. And I want to point out again, and to a point, that we keep the Word of God, that we abide by the law which is given to us, and that mindset of teaching it to others, I will end up saying we are similar in that way. But in the other way, and how they were rebuked, I believe they're wrong in saying that we're like the Pharisees. So again, Matthew chapter 23, we're just going to read some verses at a time and go through this, because there are many woes that are given to the scribes and Pharisees. And so again, are we like the Pharisees? Woe to the scribes and Pharisees. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 12 to start off with. Matthew 23, starting with verses 1 through 12. It says, "Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, Scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you to do, and all they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues. They have respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." So as we start off with this main point that many get caught up in saying that they left the Church of Christ or they won't join the Church of Christ because we are like the Pharisees is what they want to come. They want to come to this verse and say, see here, the Pharisees are being rebuked because they are binding things on people that didn't need to be bound. But if you look further in this scripture, in this context as it's reading, Jesus tells them to obey. Right? He says, therefore, all they tell you, do and observe. Right? He actually ends up telling them to keep the law, to keep the commands in which they are teaching you. Why? Because again, they were in the high place. They were teaching things that weren't against the law, that weren't bad. And we know that there are certain things that they went forth and went beyond the law. They had things messed up. We'll talk about some of those within this chapter. But overall, he's saying that they were to actually do what the Pharisees were commanding to be done. See, the Pharisees weren't being condemned
because of what they were teaching in this point. But rather, as you read further along, it brings out they do these things, but they don't do it themselves. They go forth and in verse 3 says, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. They're not even willing to lift their finger, right? To do the work of God, to do what you're supposed to do. And so if we are acting, again, a lot of these things, as we go through this chapter, we can get caught up and say, is there people that are members of the Church of Christ that probably line up with some of this? There are probably some who need to read this and go, you know what, that's me, I need to change, I need to repent of that and make it right. And so we are going around and teaching things through the Scripture, showing people where it is and saying, hey, you need to get this right, but you yourself do them, then you need to repent. You need to make that right. You need to obey the commands of God. And as you teach others, the question comes back, do you not teach yourself? Do you not go forth and make sure that you are following the commands of God? Have you removed the plank from your own eye before you go try to remove the speck from your brother's eye? And so again, as we go forth and look at this, and people trying to compare us to the Pharisees, saying, look here, they were being rebuked. Jesus said, woe to you guys, because they do not do the work that needs to be done. And what things they did do, they only did it to be observed by men, so that they can be greeted by men, so that they can wear these wonderful titles and be called rabbi and teacher and father and leader. They want to be the big person that everybody comes to and brings stuff to. And so that's the reason they had the wrong motives for what they taught and bound on others and for what they did when others were around. Again, they weren't necessarily being condemned on the teachings itself, but because they don't do them themselves and they're being hypocrites about it. And that when they do certain things, that it's only to be seen by men. They only dress up so that everybody says, oh, he must be a holy, righteous person. Because look at how he's dressed. Look how long those are. Look at that. He must be righteous. And for those who do those things, then yes, they need to be reviewed. Yes, they are in the wrong. But when it comes to the authority of God, it comes to His commands, we must stand firm in the truth. There are many more woes as we go throughout this chapter, so let's continue on. Verse 13, we have another one. It says, but woe to the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. So here it brings out, you know, you guys don't even enter into the kingdom. The Lord came, of course, the kingdom of God is at hand, preaching these things. John the Baptist was preaching these things. As the kingdom is coming, he's saying, you guys are not going to enter in, because again, they are living the wrong life. They have the wrong motives. They are teaching and binding things and then being hypocrites about it. And certain things, they got messed up on the order of what needs to be done. And so they're not entering in. They're not righteous themselves. And they're teaching others. And because they're the ones that are teaching others, they themselves are going to lead many astray also. They're going to lead others astray. If you will actually jump down to verse 15. Verse 15, we'll come back to verse 14. Verse 15 goes right along with this one. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Again, you go around and you find a pupil, you find someone to follow your teaching and give you commands, to be one who's going to learn from you. But because again, you're not in the right, your hearts are in the wrong place, you're focused on just being praised by men, you're taking titles you shouldn't wear. You yourself are not entering into the kingdom, you yourself are leading others astray and saying, you're going to make this person twice as strong as you. Because he's going to grow into it. So So this is what they are being condemned for, because of their wrong attitudes and their wrong motives and leading others astray. And so again, if that's us, if we are leading people in the wrong path, we need to repent. We need to let them know that you are wrong and that they also need to correct the path, because you've been leading them in the wrong path. So I said we go back up to verse 14. Verse 14, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses. For a pretense you make long prayers, therefore you will receive greater condemnation." Again, here it comes back to, so that others will perceive that you are a great and righteous holy person, you will say a really long, wordy, big word prayer. "Oh, that person must be righteous, that person must be holy, because they do these long, big prayers, and so therefore, you know, that makes them look real good." Not because they're truly concerned and want to talk to God that long, they really have that mindset. Again, here they take advantage of the widows, and one of the things that I had read about that, as you go forth, you know, it brought out the example of Jesus looked at the widow who gave all that she had, right, the two mites that she had given. And God, the Lord, of course, blessed them, but it brought out the point, you know, here, you know, they saw this poor woman. Are they assisting her, or are they taking advantage of her? And, you know, she might in the right heart be wanting to give, wanting to do her part, but it seems that as he's rebuking them, here are the Pharisees and the scribes, and they're taking advantage, taking all that they can, instead of assisting as they should. Again, if we're not having the right heart and attitude to help our brother and sister in Christ, we're in the wrong. As we talked about this morning in James, that we need to have the willing heart to act upon our faith. And truly, you know, if we believe that we should be helping others, that we need to act upon that. That when we should go and visit others and take care of one another. The scribes and Pharisees are continuously condemned with one thing after another. So pick up with me in verse 16. I'm going to read verses 16 through verse 22. It says, "Woe to you blind guides, who say, whoever swears by the temple that is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated. You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits." So again, their mindset is in the wrong place. You know, I know, again, when we find out verses, don't swear at all, but that we shouldn't, you know, owe nobody anything except for loving. But here, again, their mindset's just completely wrong. Their mindset is on the wealth. If you swear by the offering, by the gold, by the giving, that you, the money that you put in the offering, like, this is what, you know, I promise by this. Is that what's whole? Or is our God, who we are giving back to, is His kingdom, the Lord's church, what is holy and what is more important? You know, as they had the temple that they had to go to. Again, it's the temple. The temple should be more holy. Right? That the altar, that they made the offering. Where is our hearts? Where is our mindset? What do we truly treasure? What do we believe is important? What comes first in your life? Because again, the scribes and the Pharisees were so focused on other stuff. They were focused on the meat, because again, the priest gets some of that, and the meat and certain things, and you know, the gold, so that they can focus on money, and they did not focus on the things that God had given them, the things that actually made those things of any importance at all. No, we focus so much, again, people get the wrong mindset when we preach baptism, they think we're so focused on water that water is the greatest thing in the world and that's what saves people. But again, it's still the blood of Christ that washes our sins away. We're not just preaching water, we're preaching faith in Christ and obedience to the Lord, that we are confessing our faith, confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that one is baptized will wash their sins away. So again, don't get caught up in saying it's certain water, right? And it doesn't have to be this baptistry here. It can be any water that's enough to immerse someone. Because it's really about your faith. It's about your heart. What you believe and trusting in God. Verses 23 and 24. Verses 23 and 24 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." So again, that's a same similar mindset of the beam in your eye or a little tiny peck in someone else's eye. Here it is, you're trying to worry about this little gnat. Oh, there's a camel you gotta get. And again, look at it, what it says there. It doesn't say that they shouldn't be tithing those things, that they shouldn't have been doing them. But the problem was that they focused only on that and thought that was the more important thing than what was really important about justice, about love, about kindness, about doing good unto others. Right? They are just completely in the wrong place. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. And they neglected those things. Well, he said you should be keeping them all. But if you were focused on one or the other, trying to take care of some, this is way more important than that. Again, where are our hearts? Where is our mindset? Do we truly understand the truth and putting God in His kingdom first? Do we pray and study as we ought to? Verses 25 through 28. Verses 25 through 28. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, so that the outside of it may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. So you too, outwardly, appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." So again, here it comes, as we're getting closer to the end of it, circles around to the point that is being made at the beginning, is that they appear to be righteous. They appear to be holy because of what they're wearing, because of how they pray, because they're the ones that are up there teaching, and they're saying to do these things and go forth, and they sit in the seat of Moses, leading the children of Israel. But again, their hearts are in the wrong place. They themselves are not willing to do the work. They do not focus on what is truly important, but rather focus on the material things. We need to make sure that we are pure on the inside. And as we work on the inside, we work on our conscience, our mind, our heart, the truth, that will help change everything. Everything else will line up after that, after we give ourselves to God and allow God to transform us to His will. Then we'll be asking those questions to ourselves. We don't have to go around asking other questions. We'll ask ourselves, what is important? What comes first? How should I dress? How should I talk? Where should I or should I not go? Because we're going to be thinking Christ-like. Would Jesus do that? Is this where my Father in heaven wants me to be? Should I talk like that? we have to make sure our hearts are in the right place. Pick up with me in verse 29. Verse 29 says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partners with them, sinning the blood of the prophets.' So you testify against yourselves that you are sons of those who murder the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sins of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogue and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah to the son of Berechah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly, I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation." Right? They come and say, we would not participate in that. How easy sometimes it is when we read through the prophets or read through about the children of Israel and say, man, if I were there and I witnessed that miracle and I witnessed the hand of God that I wanted, I would have mumbled under my breath and complained about this, and I would have doubted when God said do that. When we see time again, those who did still struggled with it. So we have to be careful lest we get caught up in being like the Pharisees, being hypocrites of what we say. Our actions, again, speak louder than our words. If we're keeping to the commands that Jesus has given to us, learning from the examples that we have from the prophets, then that will show whether or not we will listen then, because we're going to be listening now. We're going to be keeping the commands that our Lord has given to us. So yes, don't be like the scribes and Pharisees. They were certainly rebuked as you go throughout this chapter. But what they weren't being rebuked for is keeping the teaching, the commands of God, and saying that we have to follow the authority of our Lord. That still stands. We need to do that. But don't let us become hypocrites saying that you have to do it and then not do it yourself. I want to leave with extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If you're here and you get to obey the gospel, we're always here to assist you in doing that. When you come forward and confess your faith, repent of your sins, and be baptized, wash from your sins. You're here, and we can assist you in anything else, whether that's prayer, or just talking with you, or having a study. We let it be known as we stand.